are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good to be with you this morning. Just want to send our love to the Ponder family as they grieve the loss of John Ponder, and want to thank the whole team that gathered together yesterday to honor the family, serve the family, bless the family. Joy, you make me proud. Thank you so much for being so present for the family and loving on them. Well, we're finishing up the book of Romans. We're in the 16th chapter. We're going back to the basics. We've been in the basics of the faith, and we've been journeying through the book of Romans. We're in Romans 17. Just checking to see if you're following. It's actually 16. That's the last book, chapter of the book. Some of you were looking for 17, I could tell. I want to talk to you this morning about life-giving relationships. Life-giving relationships, which I have enjoyed tremendously in my walk with the Lord. We're going to begin a journey at verse 1 in Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampelitus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphenia and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Peres, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Syncertus and Philegon and Hermes and Patrobus and Hermas and brothers with them. And greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I'm full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We should hear a big amen for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that. We'll be talking about that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends greetings to you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my relatives. And I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Aratus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know why they couldn't just call their kids Jimmy, Johnny, and Timmy. You know what I'm saying? And Susie and Jane. What's up, right? Well, over this last week, something incredible has happened for me. And that is the Lord has been very faithful to remind me of his service for him and to remind me of my faithfulness to the gospel and promoting the gospel in other people's lives. Last Sunday in the second service, I saw a new couple come in, and I thought, great, new people from the community. And so they sat down over here, and they looked familiar, but I didn't know them. I didn't remember them, and they were sitting there, and I looked over, and I just waved, and they waved back. They had a more heartier wave than I had, and so I thought, great, they're excited to be here. That's always a good sign. Some of you waved just so I can see if you're excited to be here. Okay, great. That's a great sign this morning. And so they were sitting there and listening to the service, and I knew they weren't from Joy because they took their masks off during service. So I'm like, oh, they're naughty little kittens, they are. And so and then I looked at the lady, and like, I know her. Yeah, this is not a first-time visitor, but I don't know where I know her from. So after service, the guy comes over, and he says, hi, James. I'm like, okay, he knows me. And he's staring at me, I'm staring at him, and we're having a showdown because I don't know him. And so he takes his mask and he said, do you remember me? And I'm like, frightfully, no, I don't. And he says, hi, I'm Sean Day. And I'm like, oh, Sean and Ruth, I thought I knew Ruth. Well, they were from Believer's Chapel in Syracuse. It was their 34th anniversary. And so they've tried to get to Joy over the last few years, but due to COVID, they haven't been able to come. And so and their purpose for coming was to thank Pastor Greta and I for the impact we've had in their life. It was really cool. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying, because I'm preaching this, that's why I'm telling you the story. And you all often forget how you do impact people, because when it's out of context, you don't remember. You hear what I'm saying? And sometimes you're just happy to see people. I'm just happy to see somebody smiling, for goodness sakes. Then he started to list all the ways that we had impacted their life and their ministry up to today. They're still serving the Lord today in some of the same ways that we trained them. We're talking 20 years ago. And I was just like, that's cool. Then I was doing my devotions, and after my devotions, I checked my phone, and there was this message. And the message was from Minnesota, from our other church. And it was a woman that had caused some trouble in the church. And she was messaging me to ask for forgiveness for any pain, hurt that she had caused Pastor Greta and myself. And I had already forgiven her, so that was not an issue. And then she said, I was out to lunch on Monday with one of the young ladies that you served, and I thought you should know that she credits Pastor Greta's and your ministry to her for sparing her life. She was suicidal. And on many occasions, we rescued her from very difficult, violent situations. I want you to look at your life. I'm just sharing two stories with you. There were others that happened this week as well. But I want you to really take time this week and thank the Lord for the way you've had impact. I want you to think of one particular person that you have invested in and you thought there was no return. That's where I was at. You hear what I'm saying? You give and you give and you give. And you kind of hope that some way, somehow, something you did, something you said, some way you served actually impacted somebody's life. But when they're standing before you and they tell you that, it's not so that you can go, well, of course I did. What are you expecting? No, 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 no. That's the time what Paul is doing is he's given honor and glory to the Lord for that impact. That's what he's doing in this last chapter. Amen? And he wants you to understand that when you actually have had impact in relationships and your impact has actually promoted the gospel, that allows somebody else to remain faithful, obedient, and it says in the scripture, innocence of evil. Is that not what we need to do in this day and age? It's to protect people and to help them remain innocent of evil. Amen? What you do for others, maybe people won't thank you. God thanks you. God will thank you. And it may be years and years later, and you may thought that you missed it when all along God was doing something behind the scenes on your behalf. Amen? Amen? Let's thank the Lord for all the people that you've had impact in their lives. You see, Paul greeted at least 26 people by name, difficult names, as well as two unnamed saints. And he greeted several churches that were meeting in homes. He closed with greetings from 9 believers that were currently serving along his side in Corinth. What's the significance about those names? Well, it shows that Paul was a friend maker and a soul maker. Amen? And that's what he longs us to be, is friend makers so we can become soul makers as well. And he did not live an isolated life. He had friends in the Lord, and he greatly appreciated them. Since Paul had never visited Rome, he ended up in Rome, but he didn't visit. He went to prison in Rome. Remember that. And so he had met these people on his life journey, and he had kept such close track of them that he knew specific details of their lives. Paul experienced warm and loving fellowship with his beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. We can sustain and nourish life-giving relationships in Christ. Amen? That's what God is asking for us to do according to Romans chapter 16, to sustain and nourish life-giving relationships. And Paul shows us how we can sustain and nourish life-giving relationships. And we see in verses 1 to 16 in that list of people that we can strengthen these qualities. I'm going to list 6 qualities that you can actually strengthen so you can enjoy ongoing life-giving relationships. God wants you to have life-giving, God-centered relationships. And so we see here that he encourages the people that he's sending Phoebe to welcome her with warm hospitality. And he commends her and he greets others. He greets people 17 times in the chapter, but he specifically commends her and says, I'm setting her apart. I'm honoring her. I'm commending her and I want you to embrace her. And that's what he's saying when he's saying, I'm commending her to you. I want you to embrace her. I want you to take care of her. I want you to welcome her. That's the first quality. The second is honor those who are willing to risk their lives. We see that with Aquila and Priscilla, that they risked their lives for him on many occasions. They had followed him. They served with him in Corinth. They served with him in Ephesus. They served with him here as well in Rome. And so they actually were tent makers together, and they risked their lives for the gospel that Paul was preaching. Then he was encouraging the people to learn to be present, learn to listen, learn to value, learn to pray for people's wants in the Lord. How many times he mentions Timothy, his yoke fellow, his work fellow, the guy that really stood by his side, but how many times did he have to encourage him? Don't fear, but to be strong, that God's perfect love casts out all fear. You know, and he had to remind him to stir up the gift within him and to make sure that he didn't give up in the faith and to remain true to the word of God. And just because he was a young believer, it didn't mean he didn't have the call of God on his life. And it didn't mean that he wasn't supposed to be preaching God's word just because he was young. He's saying, have courage, overcome your fear, get up, pull up your big boy pants and get preaching. That's what he was telling him to do. And one of the beautiful things about Paul's relationship with Timothy, you see it also with Barnabas and Mark, was he was present when he was with them. He was willing to tell them the truth in love. He was willing to go the extra mile to push them into the call of God. He was an equipper, so he equipped them, he prepared them. He didn't just launch them into their call, he prepared them for their call. He was present for them. Then the fourth quality he speaks about in these first 17 verses, he's affirmed people's contribution and hard work. And he lists a plethora of women who really worked hard for him, who stood by his side. And really ministered grace and were able. He didn't treat them like they were a lower class. He didn't treat them like they were like second-rate ministers. He didn't treat them like they were insignificant because they were women, because in that culture, that was how they treated women. You have to understand that. But he understood what Christ was doing in women's life, and he was a promoter of women's ministry. He affirmed women who served the cross. He was not ashamed, and he boldly did it, and he did it well. And he says, I want you to honor these women and affirm them. And then he talks about the fifth quality is esteeming those who suffer for the gospel's sake. And he's saying Andronicus and Junius, they're my relatives. They're my next of kin. They're of blood. They're Jewish, and they've suffered for the gospel's sake, and they've been held prisoner with me on several occasions. They were willing to suffer. If someone's suffering for the cross, you make sure you hold them up. If someone's suffering for the cross, you speak about it. You tell about it. You esteem them, because we want people willing to go at any length to push the gospel into the nations of the world. That's what he was about. It wasn't that he was saying, yeah, come to prison with me and just, you know, do anything. No, no. If it's for the sake of the gospel and you're coming to prison, that's a good cause. And I esteem you for that. And then he says in the sixth quality, make sure that you're constantly expressing your appreciation and rejoice over people's devotion and compassion. We see this with Rufus. It's believed that this Rufus that he mentions is the son of Simon who carried the cross for Jesus. And they're saying from that experience that Simon was carrying the cross for Christ, that the whole family came to Christ, because the mother actually begins to impact Paul's life. She became a mother of the faith. Well, I have a spiritual mom, and her name is Ingrid Saikkanen. I'm going to do something special for you this morning. She knows about this. I'm going to call her, and I want to introduce her to you. And she knew me before I knew Jesus, and she is responsible for me being on this stage today in one way, because she prayed me into the kingdom. She prayed until I got saved. She's waiting for this call, I think.
Hello, James.
Good morning, Ingrid. How are you?
I am good, dear. How are you and Greta doing?
We are doing well. You know you're talking to my congregation right now.
No, already. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. You're fast. I thought it would be a moment or so. Blessings to you all.
Well, that's sweet of you. Well, Ingrid, my life has been changed because of your ministry. And I was just actually talking about the Apostle Paul and how he honored women who stood by his side and were strong in the faith, which you definitely were. I wanted to ask you a personal question. Do you like personal questions?
Oh, for sure, dear. Absolutely.
Okay. So I was going to ask you, you knew me before I knew Jesus, and the Lord spoke to you about making a commitment to praying me into the kingdom of God, and then that commitment hasn't ended. You pray for me every day. Can you talk to us about what it is to remain committed in relationship and why you chose to do that?
Okay, honey, thank you. Well, first of all, relationships are only built by our glorious God, right?
Right.
And so I believe that our relationship with him then becomes indicative of our relationship with others who journey with us. And you were a young man who was tremendously gifted and very loving, but you were lost, right? And Father just deposited not only in my heart, but into many people's hearts, you know, your journey of coming into kingdom. And that's the basic bottom line, is that Father just made a deposit and opened a mother's heart to see past what was in the world into what Father desired for you to come into his kingdom and to become who you are today, James.
That's a mother's heart, right? Well, we could sit here all day and I could interview you and they really would find out a lot of things.
you were just a bright light. Even in the world, honey, you were like that. And you were I think you were on your way, it's a long time ago, James, but on your way to Broadway. Am I correct with that?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay. And Father graciously diverted that so that you become just a wonderful gift to the body of Christ. And that you have become, and you are. And you were at a time, too. It just wasn't manifested here on, you know, in God's kingdom.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You better be ready for second service, okay?
Oh, okay. All right, dear.
Okay.
All right, blessings to everyone. Thank you.
Okay, God bless. Everyone say goodbye.
You know, it's so wonderful when you have a rich relationship like that, that can nurture you. One of the things that attracted me to Joy is that heartbeat. That's here. I see it here. I sense it here. I sense it in the young people. The young families, the middle-agers, the elderly, that heart for the lost. That nurturing spirit, you have to have a nurturing spirit, and it comes from the Father heart of God. Paul gets a rap so often because he's really a theologian of doctrine. And he really helps correct and align our faith. And that's what Romans is all about. It's to keep us obedient in the faith. That's what the book is about. It's about our salvation and our glorious salvation. But in order to address and love these people, he had to have that nurturing, sustaining spirit. And this week, I've prayed that for Joy. May we never lose that. Amen? Don't lose that because of hurtful relationships. Don't lose that because people betray you. Can I tell you, as a pastor, I have been betrayed. I have been deeply hurt and disappointed. I have people who have slandered my character, have gossiped, but then I have had amazing, life-changing relationships, and I wouldn't give them up for the world. And I wouldn't give up that pain, because it's that pain that drives me to a place of saying, Father, sustain my heart in the midst of this turmoil. Sustain my spirit in the midst of my brokenness. And give me the quality of character that would nurture Christ in others despite the treatment they may be granting right now. Amen? We're talking about finishing up the book here, guys. Come on. Are we not? I'm giving you practical insight and truth, not theology. Because it's the practical things that if you can learn to do them, you'll be open to learning the theology. Because you'll be experiencing it. Amen? I'm just wanting you to give thanks for those who've devoted their life to you, just as Ingrid has devoted her life to me and has been a lifelong friend. And I want you to really look into your relationships and say, I'm going to invest, and I'm going to invest by taking on one of these qualities. I'm going to hone in on that, one of those qualities, and I'm going to work it into my relationships so that I can be one who nurtures others in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? That's what I'm encouraging you to do. We see in verses 17 to 20 that Paul is saying we must protect our relationships so that we can maintain a consistent testimony. You have to realize what he's doing in this chapter. He's passing on the torch of the gospel. He's coming near the end of his life. And some of us are older and we think, leave it to the young guys. Our days are over. I'm tired. I've done my part. Can I tell you? I don't care how old you are, you're just getting started. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. And you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. So whatever you are today, however old you are today, today's the day to invest in somebody else's life and journey. Amen? Ooh, get me excited about that, Lord. Why? Because the torch of the gospel has to go on, not just to Rochester, not just to the United States, but where was he wanting it to go? He says, to the nations of the world, because one life changed. And what did Ingrid say? You became light. Did she not say that? And that's what we do when we invest in somebody else's life because of what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're praying, how we're serving. We increase the light within them, and that light shines in the darkness, pierces the darkness, and the gospel message goes in, and people are open to Jesus Christ. Is that not the church that we belong to, folks? That's the church we belong to. That's Joy Community Church. Do you hear me? Yes, yes, yes. Yes! We are Joy. You have to protect that torch in your own heart. You have to protect that torch that's alive in somebody else's heart. Because the gospel is always at risk. And he's sharing that. And he's talking about the divisiveness, and he's talking about flattering words, and he's talking about those who are going in and usurping truth for their own personal agenda. Been around that block so many times, and often the Lord has asked me to stand in the gap as a leader and stop that in the name of Jesus. I have been called upon many times, and the Lord said, I want you to address that right there. I'm like, oh, please, no. Why don't you let the senior pastor do that? No, 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 you're going to do that. Right? Why? For the sake of the gospel. Because what happens is if that infiltrates into the body, young people who are vulnerable and naive are ripped right out of Jesus' heart by the enemy. We want to stop that at any cost. And that's what Paul is warning the church in Rome. He said he's saying there's an urgent plea to guard the gospel's impact by really protecting vulnerable believers. That's what we have to do. Help each other remain what? Obedient and faithful and innocent in the midst of a battle. We're in a battle. Every day we leave our house, we're in a battle, some form of a battle. And why would he say in verse 20 that the peace of God is going to crush the head of Satan? Why? Because the minute you walk out of the door, you might have had peace in your devotions. You walk out the door and then something hits you and then your peace is gone, right? Or in your relationships, how many of us have worked hard in our relationships and something comes and it just sideswipes your relationship and wipes you out? And the enemy whispers that you're defeated. I want to tell you today that the peace of God is coming to your home. It's coming to your family. It's coming to your relationships. And the peace of God will crush Satan. Amen? Did you hear what I said? And the enemy wants us to believe that because of flattering words and hyper faith and super spirituality, that the enemy can come and deceive us and wipe us out. Or people who have divisive spirits, hateful intentions, jealousy, contentiousness, that we allow them into the body to rob the body of young believers and naive believers. No, we protect one another. Why? Because we're protecting the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ within them. Amen? When people are contrary to the truth, they often are argumentative. They're unteachable. They're defensive. They're accusational. They're deceptive. And they're disrespectful to authority. Paul would know that. He planted many churches. He worked with many leaders. He's not just saying something because he has to state something. He's experienced it. And he knows the devastation that it causes to relationship. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and it's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." I am encouraging you, if you are in any relationship today that's wounded, that's broken, for whatever reason, we have a responsibility to bring that relationship into the presence of God, right? And it's when we put that relationship at the foot of the cross and we place our trust in God, God will give you the obedience and the faithfulness and the innocence to begin to minister or to have the wisdom of what to do within that situation. It may take months, it may take years. Oh, there's so much I could say. I have a lifelong friend who called me several months ago. We were saved at the same time. And I could tell by the tenor of the person's voice that they were really in a very difficult place. And I knew for them to be calling me that it took courage for them to call me. And I also know from being in relationship that I'm not to be Joe Pastor to this individual as well. Sometimes you just go into that mode of fixing, giving advice, counseling, you know, caring for people. And I could tell by the challenge that he was facing that I had to ask permission what he wanted me to do in the next several months in his life. And so I asked him, what are you expecting of our relationship? If I'm going to be available, which I want to be available, how do you want me to be available? And he said, I want you to be present. I just need you. And so we journey, and we have been journeying through this very difficult trial he's been going through in his family. And I've been present, and he calls whenever he wants. I know to call him because the Holy Spirit puts him on my heart quite a bit. I call him when he doesn't expect it, and even when he doesn't want to hear it, he won't answer the phone. I keep calling until he answers the phone. And then he called maybe a month ago, and he said, I just want to tell you, I had a breakthrough. I had a major breakthrough. And I just want to thank you for not counseling me, just listening to me and feeling my pain and being present in my pain. I knew I could count on you. You see, the Lord is looking for people he can count on in these days. We're talking days of isolation here, people. We're talking days of darkness, people. We're talking days where people are so alone and they need us. They need the hope that Patrick talked about. Do you hear what I'm saying? They need hope. And you have that in you, as I do. And sometimes we're up to here with enough of our own suffering, right? Sometimes it's like, hold on a second, I'm going through enough myself. But it's usually at that time that something else happens that requires you to step in. Have you ever noticed that? And you go, no, I don't have it. How do you expect this? And the Lord's like, you can do it because I'm going to be strong in you. I'm going to build your faith at this moment. I'm going to build your awareness, and I'm going to let you be present for that person, and I'm going to let you even carry some of their pain, and I'm going to let you. That's what Paul did in this chapter. A lot of these people carried his pain, and because they carried his pain, the gospel went out. Imagine the people that you've touched because you've carried their pain. They may not even come back and say, I've had a breakthrough. Can I tell you, if you were willing to carry their pain, I am telling you today, the gospel went out in their life in a new way. Are you hearing me? If they're born again, by the way. I want you to be encouraged today because that's exactly what Paul was doing. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall. I want you to think of a relationship in your life where the enemy has used that individual to cause division or put an obstacle in your life. And remind yourself today to guard and be alert to the enemy's tactics. What? To disable the gospel in your life. What? To disable the testimony of your life. One of the things the Lord spoke to me about before I went into serving my friend was, he said, protect the truth that's within him, and you'll protect his testimony. Just whispered that in my spirit. I went, that's cool. I get that. That's what we're doing for one another. We see in verses 21 to 27 that God is more than able to sustain our relationships through the power of Christ Jesus. And we can count on the grace of God to guard us. We can count on the peace of God to guard us. And he's mentioning these nine people who are by his side right now in Corinth. They're right there. And through the power of Christ in their lives, through their ministry, he is being sustained and nourished. And he's having great hope that one day he's going to come and be in Rome. Christ is able to strengthen us in our faith in accordance with the word so that our relationships have impact. And our relationships are meant to be a force to be reckoned with in the Spirit and to minister hope to the nations. And he really encourages us in verse 26. He says, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. And when our relationship is right with God, and our relationships are right with one another, and our relationships within our families are moving forward, and those relationships that God has granted us to invest in, when those are moving forward, can I tell you, it's like a mighty freight train in Jesus. The gospel is moving forward. Amen? Remember when you were weary from battle and your relationships were under attack, that God is more than able to sustain those relationships through Christ. And when he mentions Christ in this verse, Christ Jesus, he's talking about he's meaning the anointed one. So what he's saying is, through the anointing of the power of Christ's gospel within you, I'm moving you through the power of Christ to reach the nations of the world with the gospel message. And don't think for a moment they're not watching all your relationships, because that's what they're doing. We will sustain and nourish life-giving relationships through Jesus Christ. Choose one of the six qualities that I mentioned this morning and make an effort to strengthen that quality in your life so that it can help benefit the gospel. Protect the truth that is within the people you know, whether it's praying about it, whether it's addressing it, whether it's serving them. Inspire the truth, speak the truth, affirm the truth that's within them. That's what my spiritual mama did. She consistently, even today, when I'm a little, when my attitude's a little off, she'll come in gently, and you heard her spirit, you could tell, honey. I'm like, oh, here we go. Sweetheart, that's not how we should be behaving, right? Well, I want to behave that way. Well, you can't. That's what God's saying. You can't. Inspire people with truth. And then tap into the power of the anointing of Christ to restore any broken relationship, any relationship that is damaged. And ask God to grant you the faith and obedience to restore that relationship so that your testimony for Christ and the gospel can have what? Everlasting, eternal impact. How many of you want eternal impact in this world? I do. If I'm doing this just because I'm a pastor, I'm doing this because I believe in eternal impact. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. How about you? Why are you doing what you're doing? For eternal impact, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, what a great morning we've had in your presence. You're calling us to sustain and nourish our relationships, life-giving relationships, through Jesus Christ. We ask you, Lord God, that you will sustain us through the power of Christ, that you will strengthen us through the qualities of building God-focused relationships. And Lord, that we would protect our relationships with the truth of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just commit each person here today. We commit their heart. Commit their spirit. We thank you for each individual person here who exhibits a nurturing heart, spirit, and devotion for the body of Christ and for those that you've placed within their lives to encourage and affirm and honor and grant them hospitality as we open our arms and embrace people into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of ministry at the altar. Love to visit with you and see you and pray for you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week nurturing life-giving relationships. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.